Thank you, God. Yes, you are good. You are good, Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We are going to study out the book of Mark as a church, and a number of the stories that we're going to look at all come from the book of Mark. As I was studying out the book of Mark this summer, I realized a consistent theme that came up, and that was people falling at the feet of Jesus. And so, as I thought about this sermon series, the story that came to mind is actually in the book of Luke, in chapter 10 and verse 38. And I think it really helps us understand the spirit of this series and what we're hoping to accomplish for the next several weeks. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 says this: as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Short story, but very powerful. You know, Sister Martha, you know, I believe she was the matriarch of the family. Sister Martha was proficient at what we call Southern hospitality. Sister Martha knew how to put on an event. Sister Martha was excited. You know how it is when family comes over? Anybody hosted Thanksgiving before? Ooh, child, that's what I'm talking about. For some reason, it's like, when you know a bunch of people are coming over, like all the home improvement projects that you've been putting off, they all got to get done. For some reason, the garage has to be cleaned out. Like, are they going into the garage? I don't know. But all the little things that we've been putting aside, you know, and for a woman, many women will say, "Hey, the house is a reflection of me." And so, you know, they put the brothers to work. Y'all got to go ahead and get this stuff done so we can have the home prepared for the family event. This is a big deal. But this wasn't just her family. This was Jesus. I mean, you got to think about this. I mean, this is, at this point, a local superstar. I mean, this is the Lord. This is the Master. This is God in the flesh. He's coming to my house. A little bit of pressure there, isn't it? You know, you got to look at what kind of pictures you have up on the wall. You got to look at what kind of liquor is in the cabinet, right? Yeah. You got to look at that. See, look around for the little things that you may not always notice, because Jesus is going to notice. Wine and liquor, huh? I wish it was just wine, but Lord, help us, sanctify us, Lord. You know, Sister Martha probably started preparing the night before. You know, probably took her kids from school. Yeah, y'all got to help me. You know, prepared the meal. You know, went and got her a new apron. Martha's moment. This was her time to shine, baby. She was ready for the Lord to come to her house. And you know what I think happened? I think Jesus showed up a little early. Isn't that the worst? You know, you used to CP time, and so you say 2 o'clock, but you know, food don't got to be done 3 or 4, because you know when people are going to come. But Jesus was early. He showed up. Oh, no, he's already here. Hey, y'all go get this and go get that. And you know, she tries to get her hair done real quick. Open the door. Hey, Jesus. Now, there's chaos behind her. Hey, Jesus, welcome. You're a little early, but come on in, Jesus. let me show you to the dead Lazarus, make sure his feet are washed. You know, we're going to get him over here. Jesus, just hang out right here, Jesus. We still got a few more things to do. You know, that mac and cheese, it ain't quite ready yet. You know, so I just got a few more things to do, and then we'll have dinner. But just enjoy your time. You know, maybe we give him a quick tour around the house. Let's just go ahead and chill. The anxiety in Martha's heart goes up. And then Mary decides she's going to sit down. So while Martha was distracted, Mary was focused. While Martha was in the kitchen, Mary was at his feet. While Martha was working, Mary was listening. And this made Martha mad. Sister was hot. And I think it was a progression. You know how it is. Jesus, go ahead and sit right here. We're going to take care of you. Mary and I, we're going to go ahead and do a few things. So she walks over to the kitchen, and she starts preparing. She looks back. Where is Sister Mary? You know, so she's getting stuff done. She goes back, and I don't think it's the open concept back then. You know, I think it's the ones where you kind of open, or, you know, your grandmother or your aunts ever had them, like, the things that came down on, and the beads, you know? The prayer beads. And at first she says, hey, Mary, can I holler at you for just once? Can I get you for just once? Mary, like, okay, Jesus. Yeah, I'll be right there. But it was so good. She's just like, and she forgets. So Martha's over there, and she's looking, she's like, where is Mary? So Martha makes a little noise with the beads. Now this time, she just gives her the look. Then she starts getting real loud in the kitchen. You know when you get real mad in the kitchen or you ain't nobody helping you out? You know, you just get real mad. You start slamming dishes and all of a sudden getting mad at the oven door, you know, slams a little bit more. And, you know, because you want them to hear you now. You over here working. Y'all over there chilling. Working here. I think it was a progression. And Martha, she knew she was so right. I mean, she's like, I know Jesus. I know this stuff Jesus preaching. The greatest in the kingdom will be the servant. So she knew she was right. We got to serve Jesus. He's been out here working. He's been out here healing. He's been out here preaching. We got to serve. If we want to be the greatest, we got to be the best servants. Servants to all. So she thought she was so right. She thought she was so right that in this story, you know, I made all that other stuff up. In this story, she doesn't call Mary out. She thinks she's so right that she calls Jesus out to call Mary out. Okay, she might have gone through those progressions. She just said, listen, Jesus, excuse me, Jesus, I know you're in the middle. I know, ooh, that was a good word. I was listening. Jesus, listen. Don't you care about me? Do you not see all that I'm doing over here and you're allowing Mary to just sit there? What happened to all this servant stuff? This is an injustice. My sister has left me to do all the work by myself. Tell her to help me. She ain't listening to me. Obviously, she's listening to you. So you tell her. So she got to this point where she's telling Jesus what to do. And now, anybody that has kids understands this concept, especially if they have siblings, and the older one, you will hear this often. Daddy, Ari's not helping me. Can you tell her to help me? This happened yesterday. Now, Aria came over and sat with Daddy. We had just gotten done with dinner. Aria's in my arms, and I'm having a good time. I said, Layla, go ahead and clean up. Go ahead and clean it. Go ahead and put that. Clear the table. Put it. Yeah, I'm here with Aria. Aria, are you going to help me, or are you just going to hang out with Daddy? Aria's like, I'm just going to hang out with Daddy. We understand this concept. And Jesus responds, Martha, Martha. Oh, he said that name twice. You know some fire was coming after that. Martha, Martha. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. See, Mary had chosen what was better. He said, Martha, you chose what is good, serving. That's a good thing. But Mary, she chose what is better. So it's not about right and wrong. It's not about sin and righteousness, right? Good and evil. It's about what's good and what's best. It's about priorities. Jesus is saying that sitting at his feet, learning from him, enjoying fellowship with him will not be taken away from Mary. The house will be dirty again. The food, it's going to be gone, and there will be dishes, right? People will leave, but Mary, what she's getting from sitting at my feet will not be taken away. You know what that means? It's of eternal value. Amen. You know, I love this time of year. This is a great time of year. Anybody like the fall season? We got a big old tree in front of our house, and the leaves are falling. And, you know, it's just a fun time. Kids are back in school. Can I get an amen, parents? Oh, see, I don't got enough parents out. Can I? Parents, if you have, okay, amen. We will say amen for all the parents who sent their kids back to school. Praise God. College football is happening. Woo! Y'all know what this color is? No. What is this color? This is Garnet for Florida State. Now, I'm in Atlanta, so it may be maroon for the Morehouse Maroon Tigers. But, you know, I'm supporting my team. High school football has begun. And, you know, pray for North Clayton. We're 0-3 right now. But, you know, we're working on it. It's fun to be out there with the boys. It's just a fun time of the year. We just finished our church launch services. We planted 6 churches, 6 services. This is a fun time. We're starting a new series. This is incredible. I'm telling you, in the last couple of weeks, I had a birthday. I had speaking engagements. I had family come to the house. We're trying to be hospitable, trying to serve those in need. Friends are at the house. It has been a busy and fun couple of weeks. I love this time of year. And we're starting this new series. And I said, man, this series, you know, this is going to be so good for the church. That's when I heard that gentle voice. And what about you? What about you, Angel? You see, I've been cooking stuff up. Jesus has showed up, amen? And so I'm cooking stuff up. I'm trying to serve the people he's trying to help. See, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I'm good. I'm just trying to set things up for others that are trying to look for Jesus, you know? I'm cooking up a storm here. I'm trying to prepare the house of the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord, you know? Prepare hearts for Jesus, because I know Jesus. But I got to help them. They got to get ready to know Jesus. And there's all these people that want to learn from Jesus. They want to sit at the feet of Jesus. Well, somebody's got to do all the work now. Lord, the harvest is plentiful, but those workers are few, Lord. Send us some workers, Lord. Because I need help. They can help me out. I'm working here. Angel, angel. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. You know, one day last week, I'm sitting outside, and I love my little quiet time spot in my back porch, overseeing the yard and the trees and the sun coming up over the trees, and I'm just praying about all the many things that I'm worried and upset about. And I look up and see the morning sky, beautiful morning sky. And that's when I heard that gentle voice, that impression in my heart that said, be still and know that I am God. Amen. That scripture came to mind in Psalm 46, verse 10, and it hit me so hard. And God was saying, listen, stop. Calm down. You know how we say, sit down somewhere. Chill. And know, understand, recognize, acknowledge that I am God. Know, recognize, acknowledge, understand that you are not. At that moment, I took this deep breath. I found myself in the presence of God. Now, sure, I was praying before this moment, but I wasn't in the presence of God. I was in the presence of the many things I was worried and upset about. And in that moment, I was reminded that everything I am, everything I do, the husband that I am, the father, the leader that I am, is because of God. Everything I do, all the things I've accomplished, the impact that I've been able to make, the things that I'm proud of, all these things are because of God. Therefore, everything I do should be an overflow of my relationship with God. And when it's not, it becomes a burden. When it's not, it becomes draining. When it's not, it becomes frustrating because I'm relying on my own strength, my own skills, my own abilities. And those weapons, they're not purpose for the eternal battle. And they have no value in the spiritual battle, in spiritual warfare. But when who I am and what I do is an overflow from my time sitting at the feet of Jesus, I have a certain swag about myself. Maybe you can relate when you spend time with Jesus. It's the perfect balance between passion and patience. The perfect balance between passion and peace. And I can be passionate about preaching God's word, serving people, helping others, but at the same time, I can be at peace because I'm pleasing God. Amen. And whatever happens is a result, whatever the results are, is up to Him. Amen. Now, I'm reminded of my experience this past week at Best Academy. They invited many will call the number one motivational speaker in the world, E.T., the hip-hop preacher, Eric Thomas. And he's got millions and millions of followers. He travels around the world to speak to all types of people, Fortune 500 companies. I mean, he is very much sought after, right? Charges like 50 grand to come speak, and he came to speak to Best Academy and Coretta Scott King Young Women's Leadership Academy for free. And, you know, we were excited. So we got his invitation as partners to, hey, to go hear E.T. And he's made such an impact around the world. We're excited about that. And he went for it. He went for it. Let's go ahead and show the video.
I want my son to go to college on time and stay in the dorm and have fun. I want my daughter to go to college. Listen to me very closely. I'm not telling you to stop losing. But I don't know about you, but I hate losing. And I never wanted my son, I had to raise my hand and say, my biological father ain't in my life. But my son will never have to raise his hand. My daughter will never have to raise her hand. I was there. And when I used to travel the world when they was young and speak, I'm talking about 6 months old, my babies was with me. I'm changing diapers and didn't say, oh, I know I'm supposed to speak at five, but my boy just used the bathroom. I'm going to need 5 or 5. Go ahead.
You see, the context of this is that at the beginning, he had asked the room of students to raise their hands if they did not grow, if their biological father was not in their home growing up. And 95% of the kids raised their hands. It was heartbreaking. And so what he's talking about there, he's saying that we can choose to be different. And though I had to raise my hand because my biological father was not in my home growing up, he said, my kids will never have to be able to raise their hands. Man, I love that. And then he went on and he started sharing about, you know, he has this thing called I can, I must, I will. He says, you got to say it with me. You got to say, I can. And he talks about how I can is simply knowing that you have the ability to accomplish something, right? And he says, I must. He's saying, listen, this is the why. This is the understanding that I got people relying on me. The stakes are high. I must do this. No other option. I must do this. And then I will. I can. I must. I will. I don't care what comes up. I don't care what challenges come up. I'm going to accomplish this. So can you do it with me? I can.
I can.
I must.
I will.
I can.
I must.
I will. Woo, them kids left out of there pumped up, boy. You talking about middle schoolers and high schoolers. Man, they just got up, and I'm hearing them say it as they walk out of the auditorium to their friends. They're saying it to themselves. I can, I must, I will. I can, I must, I will. I can, I must, I will. A few moments of sitting at the feet of this world-renowned motivational speaker, I believe for many of them, changed their lives forever. But how much more God? You see, because as awesome as E.T. is, he is not God. He is not Jesus. And I can guarantee you one thing. Some of his words fell void. But you know that God's words, they never come up short. They never come up void. Isaiah 55, verse 10 says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's words never come up empty. The word of God never comes up void. It never fails. It will always accomplish its mission. It will always achieve its purpose. But the question is, are we listening? Are we listening to God? Some of us may be studying the Bible and trying to grow in our relationship with God. And man, motivational stuff and what the brothers and sisters are telling you in these Bible studies to help grow your faith, that's only going to go but so far. The question is, are you sitting at the feet of Jesus? Are you allowing Jesus to speak to your heart, to speak to your mind, to speak to your soul, to build your faith, to help you overcome the challenges that you're facing? I can't do that. I can tell you a lot of good stuff, but it's only going to be the Word of God that's going to bring revelation. Only God is going to reveal to you truth. It's going to inspire you to change and be who you are called to be. So God was working on me this week, but he wasn't done with me yet. God has something for me at midweek. You know, it's good to be at midweek. You know, sometimes, many times, God will have something for you at midweek. And we were interviewing our church planners and we were having a good time, and Nexus Church, Arts Ministry Church, was up. And, you know, I asked them all, what is one lesson that you would want us to take away from this time when we actually create a church? And Sister Ashley wasn't even up front on the leadership team panel, but God had put something on her heart. And Sister Ashley said, I got something. What I want us to remember, this is about worship. Because in heaven, we won't be preaching. In heaven, everybody will be saved already. We're going to be up there worshiping, enjoying our time with God. And that thing hit me so hard. Because what does an evangelist do when he doesn't have to evangelize no more?
Good question, brother.
If there's anything I'm passionate about and what I feel is my purpose is helping as many people get to know Jesus. But once they know him, what am I going to be doing? Who am I beyond what I do? Because so often what we do creates our identity. And then I got to go back and wrestle with, okay, would I be okay being in the presence of God? And of course, because when I am in the presence of God, there's no greater feeling. There's no greater fulfillment. But Satan can so quickly get in there. That's why what Martha was doing was good. But what Mary chose was even better. Because sitting at the feet of Jesus is of eternal value. So, those are my confessions. Those are my confessions. But what about you? What are the things that distract you? The many things that you are worried and upset about. What are the things that are hindering you from sitting at the feet of Jesus? Just look back at this week. How much time do we spend with our Lord? Because we're cooking stuff up, ain't we? Oh, we're cooking it up, baby. We're cooking it up. We got stuff going on. Some of us, we are pursuing our purpose. Now, other of us, we may feel like our problems are pursuing us, right? Some of us, we're proud of the work that we're doing. We may have achieved some of our goals already this year, and we're setting new ones. We're looking to 2019. Some of us parents, we're focused on the children we are raising. There's a fulfillment there, right, that we get from our children's accomplishments. Some of us, we wake up every day not looking for purpose, but for pleasure. And so we wake up in the morning and we're asking ourselves, man, what can I do to make me feel good today? Or better yet, what can I do to make me feel good tonight? Who can I use to make me feel good tonight? What can I take? Pills. What can I smoke? Weed. What can I drink? Alcohol. To make me feel good tonight. Where can I go to make me feel good tonight? We're not looking for purpose. We're looking for pleasure. And still, some of us are like me. We get so busy doing things for Jesus, and we forsake spending time with Jesus. Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite speakers in the Christian faith, he says this. He says, to the poor in spirit, it is not only simple but sweet to sit at Jesus' feet. I would be nothing but what he makes me. I would have nothing but what he gives me. I would ask nothing but what he promises me. I would trust in nothing but what he has done for me. I would desire nothing but what he has prepared for me. To sit at Jesus' feet in humble submission and quiet rest, he the master and I the little child, I the vessel waiting to be filled, and he my fullness. I the mown grass and he the fallen dew, I the raindrop and he the sun that makes me glisten in life with diamond brilliance and then exhales me in death to be absorbed in him. This is all in all to me. You know, my hope is that as we study out Jesus for the next several weeks, that we will truly sit at his feet. Amen. That we will not only learn from him and the people that he interacted with as we look at those stories, but also just learn to enjoy sweet fellowship with our Lord. This week, let's take some time to evaluate our relationship with God. And it may be that the anxiety and the frustration and even the temptations we're feeling, that may be a direct result from our lack of intimacy with God. But let's not only evaluate, let's repent where we need to repent. Some of us just need to repent. Some of us, we just need to grow. Or some of us, if this is a strength of ours, we need to help other people to grow. You see, many of us, almost 30 of us have become Christians this year, have gotten baptized and made Jesus Lord this year. I know what it's like that first year, trying to figure out, okay, I said I want to live for Jesus, but what does that look like? Day to day? How do I go through all the challenges and how do I make all the decisions that I made before when Jesus wasn't Lord? How do I make those decisions now that Jesus is Lord? That's tough. That's hard. And you know what? It's so easy to get back and drift to who we used to be. And God is saying, no, you're not going back there. I need you to continue to spend time with me. Amen. You see, because the time that we spent studying the Bible with brothers and sisters of this church should never be the most spiritual time that we have with God. That should not be the highlight of our lives forever. That's right. In many ways, it is just a phase, a time in our lives where we're growing closer, but then it's up to us to take it to the next level. Then it's up to us to make sure that we're building our relationship with God, to make sure that, man, I'm going to have deep conviction and know that he is God. I'm going to spend time with God. Not because other people are creating an environment for me to do so, but because I want to do that. Amen. Because those people may not be around next year.
That's right.
They may not be there. Right? You may not be here. You may move. You may go somewhere else. That's why it's so important to build our foundation on the words of God.
Amen.
Not on this church. I love this church, but it can't be about this church.
Right.
It has to be about Jesus and the word of God. And so we got to focus on building a relationship with God. And that may be as simple as setting our alarms 15, 30 minutes earlier. Just to get up earlier and spend time with Jesus. Or setting aside time on the weekend to get extended time with God. I tell people all the time, when I was working my 7 to 4 at the TV station, I was doing ministry all afternoon and evening. Saturday mornings, I was spending extended time with God. There's no alarm. There's nothing else I got to do. I'm going to spend as much time as I need with Jesus because I need it. I can't be like him if I'm not spending time with him. You know how prideful that is? You know how prideful that is to say, I'm going to be like Jesus, but I don't need you to be like you. And I've done that so many times. Maybe it's just going to be turning off our phones, abstaining from social media for a time. Yes, you can live without Facebook. You may have a fuller life without Instagram. Listen, I went 40 days at the end of last year, and I didn't miss a thing. There was no huge event that happened that I did not know about that would have affected me. I still kept in touch with my relationships. Actually, I was able to spend more time with God and give my best to the people that were in front of me and the people that I am truly close to because I wasn't so distracted with my phone. It'll be okay. It'll be okay if not everybody knows about what you did on Snapchat. Like, it's okay. It's okay. Some of us need to detox for real, for real. We need it. We will never get closer to God if we don't. We won't. And you may be in that circle now. You may be on that roller coaster now when you want to. But every day, it's the same thing. You go back to relying on other things. Maybe it just means that you won't get to something on your to-do list this week. Maybe that'll have to wait till next week so that we don't keep Jesus waiting. It's going to be all right. There's always going to be more things to do. Whatever it may be, let's choose the one thing that is needed. Let's choose what is better and what is best. Let's choose to sit at his feet. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we are so honored and grateful that you would give us your word, that you would allow us to spend time with you, that through the blood of Jesus, we no longer have to be separated from you, so we can have sweet fellowship with you. We can not only have a relationship with you, but be in a right relationship with you. God, we're so grateful for your grace and your mercy, God, and the opportunity to repent. We're so grateful for how your word is unchanging. Through the years, through eternity, your word never changes, God. You don't change, Father. Thank you for being consistent in our lives, God. And help us to evaluate our lives, God. Help us to see the different things that we got to let go of, God. And the things that we may need to add so that we can get closer to you, Father. For we know that without you, we are nothing, God. We are nothing, and we can do nothing apart from you, Lord. Help us to be poor in spirit this week. Help us to spend extended time with you. Help us to fast. Help us to reach out to you, God, to whatever we got to do so that we can grow in our relationship with you. Help us to sit at your feet this week. Be with the rest of our day and our time of fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.